Welcome to the Introvertpreneur Podcast. Take a breath because you are in the right place and you can finally stop apologizing for being an introvert. I'm Tara and I've discovered how to thrive as an entrepreneur while being 100% true to myself. Now I want to help you do the same. In these episodes, you're going to find everything you need to build a successful service-based business so you can stop competing with extroverts and grow and market your business with ease. Are you ready? Welcome back to another episode of the Introvertpreneur Podcast. We are joined today by Shannon Mattern, who is a business coach for web designers via the Web Designer Academy, and she is the host of the Profitable Web Designer Podcast. She is all about helping ambitious women web designers create freedom, flexibility, financial independence, and fulfillment. And I know this is going to be such a great conversation. So thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, I'm excited. You're somebody who I've wanted to have on the podcast for a while. I think it's that fear of reaching out and pitching. So I was so glad when we were able to get connected.
I think I reached out and pitched you to come on the show, and I had the same thing. Like, I was just like, my hands were sweating before submitting it. And it's like, you want it to have all these thoughts and you worry about what people are going to think. And so I feel it. I feel you. I've been there and it still happens. You just got to like push the send button anyway.
Yeah. I always have to tell myself, what's the worst that's going to happen? Like, no response or no, not interested. Like, and that's fine.
Yeah. And even if you get the, like, how dare you, you're a horrible person, I'd be like, okay, well, we don't need to know each other.
Yeah. I don't want to have you on anymore.
Right. Exactly.
Awesome. So I would love for you to share a little bit more about your story for anyone who maybe hasn't met you before or isn't familiar with you.
Yeah. So my business journey into entrepreneurship started back in 2014. I'd been at my corporate job for I don't know how many years by then. And I was about 35 years old and I was sitting in my office one day and just like, I don't know, doing this report that I hated doing. And I just had this moment where I was like, is this it? Like, is this what I like, quote unquote, worked so hard for? To come into this beige windowless office every day and just like run a report that literally nobody looks at and do this Groundhog Day thing over and over. And I just was like, this can't be all I do for the rest of my life. So I had that moment and kind of alongside that, a few things coalesced that had me try my hand at being a freelance web designer. One of our vendors at my day job was like, oh, hey, who built your company's website? Like, I saw that you did that. You guys have this, this, and this. And, you know, I have one of my clients that's looking for that. And I was like, oh, I did that. And he's like, well, do you do any work on the side? And I'm like, okay, yeah, sure. And so that's how I got my first client. And then I was telling a friend about that experience. And he was like, oh, you do web design? My dad's been looking for someone. Got my second client. And I was like talking to a girl at the gym and she was like, what do you do? And I was like, oh, I do marketing and IT for a company. And I said, oh, and I do web design on the side. And I literally like my face got so hot and turned so red. And in my mind, I was just like, why did you just lie to her? You're not a web designer. And she's like, oh, we need someone for my company's website. And I got my next client. And so I just felt like such an imposter, like, because I was very skilled, but I taught myself. And I taught myself over years at work. I didn't have a degree. I didn't think of myself as a web designer. I just solved business problems through web design. And so I had gotten my first few clients that way, but I had no idea how, and that's when I was just like, oh, okay, well, this could be a thing. This is how I'm going to leave this job and be my own boss and do my own thing. And I quickly figured out, like, I had no idea how to charge people. I was so uncomfortable having money conversations, boundary conversations. I treated all of my clients like they were my boss and I was their employee. And I was just like so overwhelmed and burnt out that I, long story short, quit doing one-on-one services, created a course to teach people how to do it themselves. And then I started like marketing that, but I was like too scared to like go live on Facebook and do all the stuff that everybody said back then that you should do. So I found my own unique backdoor ways to like build my audience. And that kind of evolved into people asking me like, hey, this training is great, but can you just build my website for me? And I was like, no, like that was awful. My business was a mess. And then a business coach was like, oh, hey, by the way, you're leaving so much time and money on the table by saying no. If we just fix your broken web design business, you could make a lot more money to quit your day job. So I did that. And then I started mentoring other women web designers to avoid all the mistakes I had made along the way so that they could get there a lot sooner. And so that's been like 10 years. Like I quit my day job in 2018. It's what, 2024. And I started the business 10 years ago. So it was a 10-year journey to where I found myself today, which is Web Designer Academy, profitable web designer podcast, and helping mostly introverted women market and run profitable and sustainable web design businesses.
I love that. Yeah. Cause I feel like as service providers, especially, we tend to experience a lot of the same things if we just like listen to all the advice out there about how you have to show up, how you have to do things. And then even the mindset shift of going from this is my boss to no, this is a client who I am working with, not for.
Yeah. I mean, it's a huge transformation to go from like employee to entrepreneur, to go from, you know, someone hiring me to actually I'm choosing to work with them, to go from someone's just going to pay me every week because I show up to, oh, I have to like actually go out there and create the opportunities if I want to make the money. Like there's a whole lot of stuff that I had to figure out that I did not know I was in for at all when I started on the journey.
I know. And I first started with services. I was like virtual assistant doing all the things. So I am a multi-passionate, but I didn't want to narrow down to just one thing. Yeah. And I thought that was all good. And I was all excited because I was like totally booked out within 2 months. I had like, I think at the highest month, I had like 25 clients and I was like drowning. Like, of course I have this many clients. I'm undercharging. I'm over delivering. I'm running myself into the ground.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Clients love people like us because I was the same way. I'm like, I say yes to everything. I respond exactly when you email me. I don't think I can charge more for this because it's so easy for me to do. I have thoughts like that'll just take me a few seconds. So you know, like all of these things that make us great employees, great students, people that kind of like don't rock the boat ever, you know, clients love people like us. And of course, like word of mouth spreads, you get 25 of them. And now you're like, this is not like, I feel trapped by this. I did this for freedom and now I feel trapped.
Yeah. Like sometimes if you think back to a 9-to-5 like corporate job, sometimes you can have a boss that is really terrible. So if you have 20 plus clients who you think of as bosses, like that is horrible.
Yeah. And we're conditioned to operate a certain way in a corporate environment to keep our jobs, to be team players, to like make it easy to go to work and get that paycheck to be safe and secure. But like those behaviors don't work super well in a service provider entrepreneurial environment. Mm-hmm. And that's when it's like, instead of unwinding that stuff, you know, we call it employee mindset in the Web Designer Academy. Instead of unwinding that employee mindset, we think, oh, I just need to niche down. I'll get better clients. Oh, I just need a better marketing strategy. I'll get better clients. Mm-hmm. Like we try to solve it through all these external things when truly we just need to set boundaries in a way that feels safe for us. And not all introverts like avoid difficult conversations and communications, but we do sometimes because we're like worried about the reaction that we're going to get.
Yeah. And I'm definitely some, I do not like conflict. I do not like confrontation. I will do whatever I can to avoid it at all costs. So, and I love like in your, like what you say that you help women web designers with, like, I think these are a lot of the things that we start a service business for, yep, like freedom, flexibility, financial independence, fulfillment. And if we are basically sabotaging ourselves by overworking, over-delivering, burning ourselves out, like we're not going to achieve any of that. And that's why we really usually start a business like this.
Yeah. And like those things that you're doing are self-protective. You know, you're not doing them because you want to sabotage yourself. You're doing it because it's like how you learned to protect yourself, right? Like saying yes to the boss prevents a conflict or prevents whatever we're worried about will happen. And so, but yes, like unless you can figure out different ways to have your needs of safety, security, and protection met that don't create burnout, overwhelm, undercharging, over delivering, it's not going to work for very long for you, which is why I'm like, oh, I need to shut this whole web design business down and go create a free online course. This is how like messed up my mindset got, a free online course that I give away in exchange for affiliate commissions off the back end for all the companies that I recommend so that if I don't accept money from people, then I don't owe them anything. Mm. So I'll make these affiliate companies the middleman, and then I won't feel beholden to them because no money has exchanged hands. And it's like, oh, that wasn't the problem. The problem was that I felt beholden to them if money exchanged hands because I didn't know how to set boundaries.
Wow. That, yeah. Like I've had those exact same thoughts. When you said that, I was like, I never even realized it, but yeah, I've had that exact thought when it comes to affiliate marketing too. Like, oh, it's so much easier to promote somebody else's thing versus my own. And that's the reason why.
And we shy away then from charging profitably and sustainably because we are like, I don't have any more to give. And if you equate how much you're charging with how much you have to give, then there's friction there. For you to, it feels safer to keep your prices low because then you can have a bigger barrier between you and the client. And so there's a whole bunch of stuff like wrapped up in there that takes some time to like identify and unwind. And if people are listening to this and they're like, oh my gosh, that's me, like it's everybody. So please don't feel bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You'll be ahead of the game though, because you are listening to this and you're recognizing that you are dealing with this, so it won't be as long of a period. Like, oh my gosh, I can't even. I think my journey was like 10 years of that kind of inconsistency. And then I got to the point where I was like, okay, I'm going to set like specific packages and that's it. And then I would get clients like, oh, can we like tweak this package? And I'm like, yeah, sure. So I fell back into the same thing.
And I think that that's like, we can't become someone we're not, right? Like I think that's the part that is challenging for people because it's like once you get tired of being burnt out and you start to feel resentful and you start to feel taken advantage of and you start to realize like this isn't working. And then we almost like overcorrect to where we go all the way to like, these are the boundaries. This is all I'm doing. I'm not doing anything outside of this. And then like, and when I say we, I'm talking about myself because I have built walls so high in overcorrection from situations that where I felt taken advantage of or very resentful or whatever. And instead of dealing with that one situation, I built like a 12-foot fence with barbed wire on top and you had to scale that to be able to work with me, or I put so many rules in place that it became, I didn't like what I was doing because it's like, oh, now I just have to become this rule enforcer. So we have to like work with who we are and kind of find that like happy medium of, you know, I am nice. I do want my clients to like me. I want them to be delighted. I want them to refer me. And it gets to work within these constraints and these boundaries. And I think that that's kind of like the happy medium that we have to, sometimes we figure it out by overcorrecting like I have done, or sometimes we just trial and error our way to what feels good.
Mm-hmm. I love the overcorrecting analogy, because if you're listening and you're anywhere where you get winter weather, I know there was, I'm just picturing the one time I borrowed my brother's Jeep, which I'd never driven before. And it was a very icy back road and I lost control and I overcorrected the steering wheel and ended up in the ditch on the other side of the road because I overcorrected.
Yep. I've definitely experienced that. The physical overcorrection as well as the business overcorrection, that's for sure.
What would you say are some of your tips for people who are listening and they're like, yeah, I know I'm undercharging. I know I need to like raise my prices, or I need to change something because I am starting to feel like I'm getting burnout.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's definitely different ways that you can go about it. But I would say you don't have to change everything for every single client all at once. I think that that can be just as overwhelming and challenging as like continuing to just let things happen the way they are. So I would take baby steps by practicing with picking your most pain in the butt client, the one that you are just like, if this person goes away, I would be okay with that. And, you know, looking at like, okay, we've been working together for this long. This is how much I charged them when we first started. This is where I think we should be now, or this is what I'm currently charging my new clients who are coming on, but I haven't raised my prices with this client for whatever reason. They're my dad's friend or like whatever. And make a decision of what you want their new price to be and by when you're going to have them start paying it. And then reach out to them and say, hey, it's been great working with you. Just want to let you know, effective this date, this is the new price, and be okay with whatever they decide. And I think it's so much safer to do it one at a time than to, especially as like introverts or people who are, I mean, not all introverts are afraid of feedback, but I'm an introverted person that's afraid of feedback. I worry about what people are going to think. I worry about losing all my clients, or I did at least. So if you do it one at a time and you do it with like the one that you're like, you know, if they're not on board with this and they want to go find someone else, actually, that would be, I would love to not hear from them on a Saturday night. Mm-hmm. Their money is not worth it. Mm-hmm. Do that first. And then you can, it's so much easier to manage the reaction of one person and notice like, what am I afraid of before sending this? What is the thing that I'm worried is going to happen the most? And definitely like if you're working, if you have a network or people who can support you through that, absolutely like get some support doing that, but just do it one at a time instead of like blanket increasing your prices for everyone all at once, because that is like risky to do in your business if you're not prepared for, it's like emotionally risky and like risky to the bottom line. Mm-hmm. So I would say just start with the ones that you're like, if they don't like this, that would be great. I'd be like so happy if they were not a client anymore. And then if they stay, if they choose to stay, at least it's worth it for you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can also use that strategy. Maybe you don't just need to raise your price. Maybe you need to put some boundaries around your offer. So maybe you've just been charging hourly and they are just, you just bill hourly, but you work for them at all hours of, you know, all the time. Put together a couple of package options that set boundaries around your time and your response time and how many hours you're working, and say, effective such and such, our hourly arrangement no longer exists. I don't offer it anymore. Here are your new options for working together. Choose one and it'll go into effect this date. And then if they're like, oh, can we tweak that? You can just say, I don't offer that. So
oh, it's so simple.
If you want to tweak it, you certainly can. but put some boundaries around whatever you want to tweak. And I think that that's, and then we think we have to do the same thing for every client or list the same things on our website. We absolutely don't have to. And obviously look at what your contracts say and that type of thing. But yeah, so that's my recommendation for starting that process.
I love that because I feel like so many times we were maybe like scared to send that and actually like, you know, I've heard from a few people in my community, like I've been wanting to raise prices with this client for so long. And it sounds like maybe they're not the best fit clients, but they're still scared because they're like, I don't want to lose the money that they are paying me right now. Or then they're like, oh, well, I want to find another client first to replace them. Then I'll like let them go. But that's a lot of pressure on yourself. Like if you are fully booked and you're going to have the time to get another client that's going and then let them go, like you still have to give them however much notice is in the contract. So you're probably going to have like a month or two where you're overworking.
Yeah. And I think about it like it's intangible, but the confidence and empowerment you feel when you do draw a line in the sand for yourself is going to help you like confidently bring in the next right client. Right. If you're like mm-hmm. trying to ignore and avoid this situation over here, and then like, I'll deal with it when I find a client that replaces them, you're still kind of operating from that place of I'm avoiding this problem. Mm-hmm. And you may bring in the wrong client just because you're like, I just need someone so that I can offboard this client. And you kind of, you might end up in the same situation because it's the behavior, it's your behavior that enabled this client to behave badly for so long. Not to say like it's your fault that they're a jerk. Like I'm not saying that at all, or that, you know, that they mm-hmm. treat you badly. But if you didn't learn how to set boundaries and enforce them with this client, you're not going to magically start doing it with your new clients. So I think that there mm-hmm. is something to be said about starting to practice that in situations where you're like, yeah, this isn't a good fit and I'm going to stand up for myself in a way that feels like safe to me. And the other reason we don't do it though is fear. Like we're afraid of a negative review. We're afraid of somebody tarnishing our reputation. But, you know, we have had students in the Web Designer Academy end client relationships where the person was like so appalled and angry that they were fired. But the way people react when that happens makes them look bad. Mm-hmm. and so in this situation, they were in a networking group together and she was like, I don't want to get rid of this client because I'm afraid she's going to badmouth me in the networking group. And so we came up with a strategy and we said, okay, well, if she does badmouth you, what are you going to think? What are you going to do? What does this really mean? And we kind of coached through it. She let the client go. The client badmouthed her in the networking group, and our client didn't have to do anything because the owner of the group invited that other person to leave the group because her behavior was unacceptable. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we don't think that that could be an outcome, but when people do that, they make themselves look bad. They don't make you look bad. It's like their integrity on display, not yours. And mm-hmm. so I just think that that's something to consider too. We can't control other people's reactions. Are we going to build a business around other people's reactions? Like, that's no way to run a business.
Yeah. If you did that, the clients, like people would just take advantage of you and like step all over any kind of boundaries that you set. And yeah, I mean, and it doesn't happen like too often. Like I'll say, like thinking back, like I'm going to say like, because I did have like smaller like packages at one time, I'm going to say like 200 clients, I've had two that were bad, or one I let go finally after months of being yep. scared to and being like, every time I got an email, I would just like, almost, I would have a physical reaction mm-hmm. to it because I knew what it was going to be like and how it would affect me. But I still held on because I was too scared to set boundaries and bless and release, I guess, that client. And then I had one other one who I think it was just a mismatch of expectations And I think I definitely used it as a learning lesson. Like I could have, maybe there were things that I could have done at the beginning to set those expectations more clearly. And it was definitely a big learning lesson, but I mean, it doesn't happen too often. Like I've raised my prices many times over the years and I've had a couple clients be like, yeah, I've loved working with you, but this just isn't in my budget. And I'm like, that's fine. I've loved working with you too. If anything changes, let me know. I think we just think everything's going to be a little too personal.
Well, yeah. And like, of course, like in the absence of knowing, we fill in the blanks with like the worst case scenario often. I'm always like, if we're going to tell stories, let's try to tell good ones. But the other thing we tell our students is like, especially like a lot of times they'll give a proposal to someone and then that client will ghost them and come back a year later and want to move forward with the project. And meanwhile, they've raised their prices and they no longer offer that package. Mm-hmm. And they feel like they have to say yes to that or whatever, or, you know, they haven't raised their prices with a client in a long time. And I'm like, but if your client wanted to raise their prices at any time in their business, they would, and they wouldn't think twice about changing their offers or raising their prices. So it's okay for you to do that too. Like if it's okay for your client to change things about their business or change their prices or change their offers, it's also mm-hmm. okay for you to do it. So that's another test kind of to like try to think of like unlock your brain on they'll be mad at me. Like they would raise their prices if their business necessitated it. So mm-hmm. they shouldn't be mad at you. And if they are mad at you, this might be a client relationship that's not healthy for either of you. And it's okay to, like you said, bless and release, and just, you don't even have to raise prices with pain in the butt clients. You can literally just say, after careful mm-hmm. consideration, we're no longer working together. And here's what offboarding looks like. Yeah.
I think a lot of that kind of goes back to too, like our 9-to-5, like corporate mindset. Like, and even though we like go through the process of entrepreneurship and figuring out like this is a client contractor relationship or more of a like collaboration partnership, however you want to describe it, not like a employee boss relationship, we still sometimes fall back into that mindset when we're dealing with like increasing prices or letting a client go that is no longer a good fit.
Yeah. And I think it's just because, I mean, in any job you've ever worked at, it's like the customer's always right, you know, provide good customer mm. service, like do whatever you can to keep the customer happy. And it should be a mutually respectful, mutually beneficial relationship. And if you're not used to that, if that's not what you were taught is the right thing, then how would you know? Like, it's just like, you mm-hmm. just don't know what you don't know. You're like, this is what made me a good employee. It's going to translate right over into what's going to make me a good VA or web designer or graphic designer or copywriter or whatever you're doing. And it just doesn't work. But what does work is looking at your client as an equal, as an adult that can make their own decisions, looking at yourself as an equal and saying, this is my business. This is how I want to run it. These are the parameters through which I think I can provide the best service to my clients because it's sustainable for me to run my business this way. I'm not burnt out. I'm not overworked. I'm making enough money. And through that lens, here's how we're working together so that I can give you the best service and give you everything you need to be successful. And I'll still be here to do it and not want to fire you by the end of it.
Yeah, I feel like that's the biggest like mindset shift is like we don't know what we don't know. Like, and I think especially when we're starting out, we do typically like undercharge. We do say yes just because we want to get those first clients. We want to like start building our business. And so we get into situations that are maybe not ideal. And if we don't realize that, you know, there are other ways to do this. Like you don't have to say yes to every client, every request. You don't have to deal with certain behaviors. I mean, unless you realize that. And so everyone listening here or everyone who you work with understands this. And I think that's the big thing is like, you're helping people get to that point a lot sooner than it took you. It took me for sure. Like, because yeah, we don't know what we don't know when we first start a freelance business, service business.
I did not like wake up one day and be like, oh, I'm the one running my own company and I get to decide the rules of what this looks like. And not in a punitive way, but in a like, oh, like what's best for me and what's best for them. And, you know, if you look at, think of a Venn diagram, like that little middle slice is like the sweet spot. I literally had to, like I said earlier in my journey, when a business coach hired me to do her website and we were like talking, you know, she was asking me questions and I started talking to her in a business coaching relationship about challenges I was having with some of my clients. She was like, you know, you don't have to do it that way. And I was just like, what do you mean? Like, of course I do. Like, they're my client. Like, I have to do what they're, this is what they're paying me for. This is what I agreed to. It never occurred to me ever that that's not what it had to look like. And I don't know that if not for that interaction, I would have ever figured it out. I probably would have just quit and still be working at a day job at this point because that felt easier. But I am so glad I did, because when you do, like if you are listening and you kind of find yourself in that place of like the overwhelm and the burnout and feeling like this isn't working and feeling like a day job might be easier, like there is another way. There is another way. And just knowing that there's another way, I hope that that can give you some hope, because when you do make the shift of I'm going to figure out what this needs to look like for me, for it to work for me, and so that I can give my clients like the absolute best service in a way that works for me, everything changes and you love it again. And it doesn't feel like work and it doesn't feel like a grind. And you're also not working 24/7 and feeling taken advantage of and overwhelmed.
Yeah. And I feel like that's a big part of it is that we don't realize is that it is for the client's benefit too. Like, if you're burnt out and overwhelmed and resenting work, it's you're not going to be able to show up and deliver in the way that you want to and that the client is paying for. So it's basically going to like continue to snowball.
Yeah, it's like you can provide so much better service if you're rested and, you know, not answering emails at 9 o'clock at night and all of the things that we think that they expect of us that they really don't. Or if they do, maybe they need to go find someone else that's willing to do that. And yeah, it's just people want to work with people who are having fun and are energetic and, you know, are like, you're either like resentful of the client or you're really invested in what they're doing and their mission. And when you can create your business to be that person for them, it's just going to be better for both of you.
Yeah. 150%. Yeah. So I wanted to ask about your quiz, because I took this right before we started recording, and because I was curious what I would, you can't put a quiz lead magnet in front of me and not have me take it. Like, I love quizzes. Just for anyone out there, if you're brainstorming lead magnets, quizzes are so much fun. So I got nurturer, but I would love for you to tell us a little bit about this quiz.
Yeah. So we have identified 12 web designer archetypes. 6 of them are like the most common ones that we see web designers have. So there's like your signature archetype and influencing archetypes. And we have a quiz that helps you figure out which one of these 6 core signature archetypes that you are, because that's like the superpower that you bring to, and for us, it's for web designers, but this really would apply to like any service-based business, because that's like, it's just how you operate in business. It's like your superpower. It is the thing that makes you so good at what you do. It's why your clients love you. But at the same time, it can also be your kryptonite. So that quiz will tell you what your archetype is, and it will outline some of like your strengths and superpowers, and also some of the challenges you might be experiencing in your business as related to that archetype. So for example, nurturers their clients love them, just exactly like what we were talking about at the beginning. Like, their clients love them because they take care of everything. Like, they love to just swoop in, and they're always available, and they go above and beyond, and they just make sure that, like, they're the person, if you ever did a group project, that they're the person that's like, I'll take care of that piece, I'll do that. But, like, they volunteer for all of it.
That was definitely me in school.
Yeah, you're like, I'll do that. Like, so you are such a team player, and you want to take care of everyone. You never want anyone to feel upset, and you always want them to be successful. But on the flip side of that, you aren't nurturing yourself. And so you can be overworked, burnt out, resentful. Sometimes it's hard for you to have what you might see as, like, difficult conversations with clients around boundaries and money, because you don't want to harm them. Like, you want to take care of them, and you feel like, if I say no, or give news that the price is increasing, or say that I can't do it by this time, but I can do it by this time, that you're harming them. And that's the last thing a nurturer wants to do. And so we talk about this in the context of, like, 6 sneaky places your web design business might be leaking time and money. And nurturers are very prone to, like, the employee mindset and people pleasing leaks, because it's in your nature. So what we have to do then is kind of shift your thinking, which is a little bit what we talked about earlier on this podcast, to be like, how is taking care of myself first helping my clients? Because if you can't get your mind around that, you're never going to help yourself first. You're always going to help them first at your own expense. And then all of the things that we talked about, you're burnout, you're resentful, you're at risk of not being there to help them at all because you shut down and go get a job or quit altogether or whatever. So we have to, like, rebuild your paradigm in terms of, like, oh, okay, taking care of me doesn't mean I'm not taking care of them. Setting boundaries actually does help them. And how do you notice all the things that you think that are kind of, like, creating that and then change them? So that's just one example. There's 5 other examples, and you can go take the quiz if you want to know your superpower and your kryptonite.
It is spot on for me, I will say. I read the email after, and I was like, yeah, this is me for sure. And I think with nurturers, there's probably a lot of you listening, if you go take the quiz, they're probably going to get the same result, because I know there's a lot of people pleasing and empaths and, yeah, in my audience. So I feel like for me, what has helped with that has kind of been, like, the analogy of, you know, when you're on an airplane, you have to put your mask on first before you put on somebody else's. I try to remind myself of that. If I see myself getting sucked back into that, yes, I'll do that. Yes, no problem.
Yeah, but if you feel like you have to, like, climb over them to get your mask first, you're going to be like, oh no, let me just help you with yours really quick, and then I'll get mine because I don't want to step on you. Like, we have to know that putting our mask on first, when we do it, we're also not going to, like, harm them in the process, especially for a nurturer, especially. So there's that, you know, that residual piece of really truly believing that, like, you getting in their way to take your mask is helping them, I guess. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm curious if you see a correlation between introverts and nurturers, like, in terms of the characteristics of an introvert, like, because I don't want to make an assumption that, like, all introverts are nurturers. I don't think that that would be the case, but I'm curious what some of the...
Yeah, I would probably say, like, I feel like there's usually, I know introverts are all different. Like, I know some people who identify as an introvert, they actually love showing up on live video. They just have to, like, manage their time with it. Like, they can't do it all day, every day. It's exhausting. And then there's ones who are like, no, that's not for me. I'm not even going to bother trying that. I feel like when it comes down to, like, personality traits, I do feel like a large majority of introverts are also people pleasers, for sure, primarily because we want to avoid that conflict. Also because we're so in our heads that we're overthinkers and we're like, oh, I can't say no. And oh, the client will get upset and like putting other people's needs above our own, which is why I do feel like a good sizable portion of my audience will probably get nurture too. So I'm curious to see what everyone gets.
Well, I was curious because I was just like, oh, I can't wait like to talk to you more about that, like when you come on my podcast, because I just feel like there's so many things that you have said that I'm curious how, like, because introvert is not one of our archetypes, but that, you know, it's like an underlying like personality trait that I think a lot of the archetypes could share that manifests in different ways in mm-hmm. each of the different archetypes. So yeah, I'm fascinated by that.
Yeah, I always see that there's like an introverted like spectrum, and there's like, you know, the people who are more like, you know, I'm not a very outgoing personality. I can be in certain situations, but then I need to like step away and like be by myself for a bit. And then I always say that I'm like, because every test, the personality test that I take, I get like 98% introverted. So I'm like way up here. I also have social anxiety. I also consider myself an empath. So I have like a trifecta of things that add to my personality. So yeah, I think the big thing about introverts is just like, we get energy from being by ourselves. That's how we fill up our cup. Whereas extroverts, they get energy from other people, like they take it in, whereas other people take energy from us, which is why we then have to go away and be by ourselves and recharge and do whatever feels fun or creative or energizing to us.
I've taken the tests too, and I feel like I'm definitely introverted. There are certain situations where I like being around people, but they have to be certain people. Like our coaching calls in our program, like I feel so energized after that. And that's a lot of people, but that's like probably one of the few situations that I feel energized after being around that many people. Mm-hmm. Almost every other one that I could think of, I'm like, okay, I just need to be in my room with mm-hmm. quiet and like writing something or reading something or just like no peopling right now.
Which that kind of makes sense though, because you're like, because I'm the same way when I do like lives or group program. It's kind of like we curated the Zoom room of people. So it's more comfortable, it's more exciting, it's more energizing.
Yeah, I can totally relate to that.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Like I sent out everyone thought this was very out of character. I sent out an email to my entire email list. I was like, hey, I'm hanging out on Zoom right now if anyone wants to jump in. And they're like, I can't believe you just did that. You're an introvert. I'm like, yeah, but I sent it out just to my email list. Like I treat my email list as like my audience and like my friends. Like email is my number one thing. So I wasn't scared but if I was to go live on Instagram, nope.
I went live on Instagram to promote my last open enrollment. And the only reason I can do that is because I'm pretty sure no one's going to be watching. Like, I'm like, I'm just doing this so that it's here for later. And then I'll take the recording and I'll send it out to my email list. But like the intention was never to be like, so that people can be here with me live that are strangers that I don't know. I'm like, let me just show up real quick. 15 minutes, I'm gone. No one will even know. And then the replay will be available for later.
What if you were doing that and then you saw like hundreds of people were joining and watching and commenting? And
I would probably have to, I'd probably have to ignore that. Or I'd probably start just sweating profusely. Or I would probably just make jokes and deflect. And I would probably say like, I'm sweating profusely because I would just tell the truth. I'd be like, I was trying to get away with nobody being here and just like skip in and skip out. But I guess I didn't get away with that. And now I'm sweating profusely. Like I would just like verbally vomit whatever was going on in my brain at the time. Because I think that's the only way that I just have to be me, I guess. Like if that happened, I'd just have to be like, well, here we are. And I'm just going to be me and not try to portray something else. mm-hmm. and not read the comments.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. I would probably be the same way. I may even like cover up the like comment. Like if I had like a post-it note nearby, I would just like stick it to my phone or just to cover yeah. that up.
Like, this is not happening right now.
I'm just going to pretend I'm here by myself. Let's just ignore yeah. everyone for now. And I'll just, yeah, mention that I'm just doing this for later. And oh, that's funny. Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Well, this has been so much fun. And I know this is going to be a really good episode. So I'd love for you to actually share, just before we end, a little bit about the Web Designer Academy as well.
Yeah. So the Web Designer Academy is business, marketing, and sales coaching for web designers. So we don't teach any web design skills in the program. You bring your web design skills to the program. We teach you how to package, price, position, market, sell, and also how to manage, I say manage projects, but really it's how to manage people, how to manage clients, how to set those boundaries, how to do it in a way that like aligns with who you are and your personality so that you don't have to become an extrovert or a different architect. You don't have to become a ruler if you're a nurturer to grow your business and to like have it be sustainable. So it's a group coaching program with strategy and systems and processes and all of the things that you need to go from people pleasing employee mindset person to in control and just loving your business again.
I love that so much. Yeah, I'm big on saying that. Like, you don't have to actually change who you are deep down and like your personality, like showing up as you and figuring out, like, that's why I love the quiz too, I think, because it's all about your personality and then the strengths and what can maybe become an obstacle for you that you may need to be aware of in order to not let it become like a your kryptonite.
Yeah. And we don't know what we don't know. And like anybody listening to this is just not alone in these struggles. It is like, it doesn't matter if you're a web designer or any other kind of online service provider. It's almost like the transformation that we all go through. It just depends on the timeline and if you do it with a mentor or if you do it on your own, but we all go through it. And so I just don't want anybody to be like, oh, I should be doing things differently. It's like, no, you're exactly where you need to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's always it's a long journey with lots of learning lessons. But if you're here and listening to this, you are moving in the right direction and one step probably ahead of a lot of people who didn't have this guidance or information.
Yeah, totally.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being here. This has been such a great conversation and I know everyone's going to love this episode.
Thank you so much for having me. It was super fun talking to you and getting to know you better.
Thank you so much for joining me today. This episode may have ended, but there are ways we can stay in touch until next time. You can join me at thetarareed.com, where you can find tons of blog posts and resources that will also help you grow your business. And don't forget to follow me on Instagram at introvertcoach, where I share more introvert-friendly and service-based business tips with you. If you love what you're hearing, drop a 5-star rating and review telling me what you are loving about the podcast so that I can continue to encourage as many introverted entrepreneurs as possible. Until next time, keep using your introvert superpowers.